You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Icehouse Podcast. Super cool to be in Nelson today and having this conversation with Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the podcast. Thanks heaps.
Glad to be here.
An alumni of the Icehouse, have done, like we talked about, a workshop in Christchurch even before the earthquakes, have done our owner-manager program and our OMX program for owner-manager program alumni. So big part of the community. Good to have you in the studio here in Nelson, and like to start with a big open question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what motivates you.
Right, well, how long have we got?
We've got 40 minutes.
Okay, look, I'll try and I guess it's a long story short. So a little bit about myself. I'm married, coming up for 36 years to Pauline. Have got three adult children, ranging from 30 down to 23. Mm-hmm. So two boys and a girl, and they're all doing great in life, which is fantastic to kind of figure out you've done something right.
That's a win.
In terms of my business, I started back in September 1996, so we're coming up 27 years old next Friday, next week, so another birthday candle from that perspective.
Awesome.
I guess hopefully I'm a kind of typical person, love rugby, any kind of sports, watching that, you know, reading. I've got a couple of motorbikes, old classic bikes that I like to ride when the weather's fine. And generally, yeah, like having fun and enjoying life.
Yeah.
That's kind of me, hopefully, in a nutshell.
Yeah, great answer. What gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it the family piece? Is it the passion for life that you have?
Well, it's a good question because I generally actually get up about 4 a.m.
What?
Which is nuts.
That is nuts.
It is nuts. And I kind of think that goes a little bit back to, I think, the from the earthquakes where we were getting lots of aftershocks in the middle of the night. And I've really struggled to get out of that, waking up early.
So, wow.
So typically, yeah, about 4 a.m. most mornings, get up, have a coffee, go to the gym. Get back. I'm actually in the office about 6:15 in the morning.
Whoa.
Which is nuts as well, because I don't have to be there.
No.
especially with the advent of technology, you can be anywhere in the world. You can be in New York or you can be in Nelson and still communicate to your customers and your team. So it's just really habit. But I am a morning person because around mid afternoon I find I don't have a siesta, but I tend to have all my power. Important meetings in the morning when I'm kind of at my best, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So what motivates me to get out of bed, so to speak, apart from the coffee? Well, being a morning person, I just like to get up, get things done.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of helps me. It feels like I'm one step ahead of most other people.
Yeah.
I do a lot of reading in the morning, stuff, business, the Herald, looking at all the business stuff, all the kind of general knowledge stuff that'd be having a conversation with people you can actually engage, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, and what happens in my industry space is that what happens last night affects your morning. So you tend to try and at the end of the day find out what's going on, but also first thing in the morning kind of helps you set you up for a really successful day most times, so it's great.
Awesome answer. And that's mind-blowing that you get up in the fours, but good on you.
My wife doesn't think it's so good.
Fair enough. Tell us a bit about Zend, your business. What was the aha moment for that?
Okay, so back in 1996, I was working for a big transport company that's still around. Had a GM role with them, and I got offered a role by one of our clients, which was a medical laboratory, which is, I've been in kind of freight logistics for 10 plus years, and I had this opportunity to go out and do something different. So anyway, long story short, when I was working for them, it kind of came very clear to me quickly that business wasn't going to be around for too much longer. And I'd had been dealing with Auckland Hospital on some medical laboratory stuff, and they knew my background in logistics and courier. And they had all sorts of problems of moving medical specimens around New Zealand, and they asked me for my help. So that was the aha moment, and I thought, oh yeah, that's kind of interesting. And I had no idea how to set up a company, so I had to go and figure that out pretty quickly. And 27 years later, we're doing lots more than that now, but that was the aha moment to actually go and do it. And in actual fact, when I think about it, I had the opportunity to go back to the transport company I had been working for and set up a division for them. And I'm going to blame my wife. She said, well, why do you need to do that when you can do it yourself? So she said it to me about 20 times. So I couldn't say no. So anyway, so away we went.
Cool.
Yeah.
I want to go back. So you said, so I had to work out how to start a business.
Yes.
Can you remember, like, how? What was the first steps you sort of took to actually start something?
Okay, well, first of all, I picked my phone up and spoke to my lawyer.
Yeah, good start.
And I said, how do you start a business? And they said, well, you got to register. You got to think of a name, register it, register the company. And then I went and spoke to my accountant, you know, and what are the kind of structures I need to be thinking about, you know, because it was just me and no one else. You know, do I have a limited liability company or a sole trader? And, you know, the accountant's advice back then was limited liability, because when you grow the business, you know, you'll need to have that structure in place. So once I kind of did that paperwork side of things, I knew that I had a customer. From day one. And I actually worked from home, set up an office in a spare room. And you know, the Auckland Hospital, I remember, because I'm based in Christchurch, said to me, but you're not based in Auckland. And I said to this particular person, well, how's it currently working for you? And they said, well, not too well, because we haven't seen anyone for 18 months from the particular courier company, who, by the way, is no longer around. And I said, well, what if I come and see you once a month?
Yeah.
Minimum. And they said, okay, that's fine. That was really the only objection that they had. And so I just committed to coming up from Christchurch to Auckland once a month, which I, you know, booked in a few days and went and did other new business calls and grew my business as I went along. So from my point of view, the risk piece, if you like, because I had Auckland Hospital as my first customer, I knew that I was going to get paid. So security-wise, I could actually get out there without having to always kind of look back over my shoulder thinking, well, how am I going to, you know, put food on the table. So I was quite lucky in that respect. I could get on and just do what I want to do and how I wanted to do it.
It's great to hear you went lawyer and you went to your accountant. Those are two huge pieces to the puzzle, but sometimes can be missed in the journey of starting a business. So it's cool to hear you knew to go straight to those two. For those listening, could you just give a bit of a quick understanding of what Zen does, you know, what you offer?
Well, that's a great question. That's probably why I asked how long we got.
So
Zend is we sit in the middle between our customer and the courier and transport companies. So our job is so we're B2B, and so once we understand, like, a business we want to engage with, we go in there and we do a review of how they manage their distribution and logistics. So we find out what's working well, but more importantly, what isn't working well. What are the problems that they're actually going through? And it's normally quite painful. There's a challenge around customer service. So Zen is really a customer service business working in the freight and logistics space. And so we have our own sales and account management team. We run our own customer services team. We have our own back office in terms of accounts team. We've got our own IT platform. We handle the whole claims insurance process for our customers. So our customer sees the courier company, and I'm not going to mention the courier, it could be any courier company coming and picking their goods up and delivering them, but they deal with Zen for every single thing. So all the customer services, they deal with us, not the freight company. All the billing comes from us on our platform, so they're not getting different invoices from different suppliers. So we really streamline their process, and we deal with about 30 to 40 different courier and transport businesses throughout New Zealand. So we're able to give our customers some flexibility. And especially, I guess, there were some major challenges through COVID in New Zealand with lockdowns and you know, businesses, like, for example, courier companies, their branches would shut down because someone might get COVID. For example, Central Otago would just
close
for the week. So we had the ability to move our customers around through our network, and so I didn't have to go and reinvent the wheel and start the whole process. What are we going to do, you know? So, you know, a lot of people, when I look back in the last 3 years, initially at the start of that, of those lockdowns that we had, you know, a lot of people didn't even know if they had a job. What I mean? So let alone how am I going to get stuff delivered to my customer so I can invoice them, so I can carry on. So we provide a lot of stability, and we add you know, a tremendous amount of value to our customers' lives. That if we do our job correctly for them, that enables them to get on with their business. You know, they didn't get into business wanting to manage freight companies. You know, so we get on and we provide high levels of customer satisfaction, which you know, if we're linked up with the right customer, it really helps their business grow. And so they, you know, so they grow, we grow. So it's it's not rocket science, but it's certainly a win-win situation we try and achieve.
Yeah, brilliant. Makes so much sense. Has the business evolved a lot since that first, you know, Auckland Hospital client?
Well, absolutely. So when I was thinking about coming on today to have a chat, so back in 1996, our business was called MedLink Careers.
MedLink, yes, of course.
Because we're medical, we're specialised in that. And then after about 12 months, so this is about 1997 at this stage, I was actually driving down to Timaru to see a potential client, and I was driving along, and interesting, I thought, oh, MedLink, it's quite in a box, you know.
Yeah, niche, yeah.
So for some reason, you know, Courier Solutions popped into my head. And so what I did is, honestly, I pulled up to the side of the road on the motorway, rang my lawyer again and said, can you please check to see if this name, anyone else has got this name? And he basically went online while I was talking to him. He said, no, no one has. I said, can you lock that in? And so we changed our name 26 years ago. And then we rebranded about 6 years ago to Zend. And why did we do that? I remember coming back from a family holiday from overseas, and I watched a movie called The Founder. And it was like, for me, there were so many light bulb moments in that movie, like, what business am I in? You know. And when I got back to work, I remember I went and had a look at my P&L, and at the time, 48% of my revenue stream wasn't courier work.
Interesting.
So I thought, I've got to come up with a name that is limitless. So Zend is a play on send.
Cool.
You know, why send it when you can send it? It's kind of, kind of our motto, and it's something that we can do different. We can do whatever we want with that name.
Yeah,
and,
so true.
And be whatever we want. And so it actually took a couple of years when I think about it. Almost, you know, with marketing businesses, trying to find up a name that would actually kind of, that we were comfortable with. And one of our, at the time, one of our board members said, you have to call it something that people can understand. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, and my comeback to that was, I think in the early 70s, there was a computer, there was a company started up in America, and they called it Apple, and they sold computers. So you can imagine someone going back then saying, oh, do you want an Apple?
Yeah,
you know
so
what I mean?
True.
So I think they've gone okay.
Yeah,
I think they're doing okay. And
or Google,
and even in New Zealand, when Shell service stations, you know, kicked over to Z.
I mean,
if you said, "Oh, I'm just going to go to Z to get some petrol," with people,
yeah, what?
That. So,
so true.
I think what's in a name is really the brand. What it stands for is what people remember.
Yeah. Totally makes sense. Yeah, it's great. And like you said, you know, it's limitless. Like with a name like that, it's not boxed in.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting for us because all our team members are Zend Masters on their business cards, and so we're trying to, they kind of get a little bonsai tree, you know.
Yeah,
or
cool.
We're trying to, you know, we want to have fun with the name as well.
Make it fun. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What is a piece of advice that you would give yourself if you could go back to the start?
Well, it's really interesting because I had a board meeting the other week, and I said to our board members, which is kind of interesting because I'm paying their
Yes, yeah.
So the question you should ask me is, if you could start this business again, what would you do differently?
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
That's the question,
kind of, and it's a whole interesting thing. So... The piece of advice I would give myself or anybody is, if you're thinking about starting something, just get on and do it.
Okay.
Don't wait for it to be perfect, because if you do, someone else will do it.
Yeah.
And I think you've just got to get it off the ground and then make it perfect, and also realise that it's never going to be 100%, because it evolves and grows and changes direction.
New challenges, yeah.
People, whole bunch of stuff, technology, you know. If you look at the changes of AI,
massive.
We're just trying to think, well, how do we embrace it?
Mm.
How do we use it as a tool to help our people do a fantastic job for our clients? So,
yeah.
So, yeah, don't procrastinate. I mean, just get on with it. And I see a lot of people, you know, they're just forever thinking about ideas, but there's that old saying, you know, power of an idea is in the implementation.
Mm.
So yeah, just get on with it would be simple advice I'd give anybody.
That's some really good advice. Yeah, nice. What has been a challenge, and then on the other side of that, a highlight of the journey for you personally?
A challenge is that when I first started this business, no one else was doing what we were doing.
Mm.
So if you wanted to basically move stuff, you had to deal directly with the courier and transport businesses. And none of those businesses really wanted to deal with us. They saw us as a bit of a, you're just clipping the ticket, which couldn't be further from the truth. So that was a massive challenge, and it took about, like even today, there's some businesses that, you know, don't want to have, you know, they, why would we deal with you when we can deal directly with the client? But so they don't quite understand. Mm. So that was a really big challenge, and kind of, it's not as big a challenge now as it was back in 96, but as we've grown and longevity, we now have freight companies come knocking on our doors, you know, about that. And so what was the other part of the question? I just thought.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So that was a challenge, and then highlight.
Well, the highlight for me is that my business gets to compete against multinational businesses. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, interesting. Why is that a highlight for you?
Because I see ourselves as quite small, but we're able to punch above our weight.
Yeah, cool.
And we're not afraid of that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so to me, that's a continual highlight, because at the end of the day, you know, I guess if other businesses did what they said they were going to do, we wouldn't have a job. You know what I mean?
So
we have to add a lot of value every single day, you know, for our clients and potential clients. Go, you know, reputation is huge.
I think that's such a key point just in business in general. Reputation is such a big deal, and New Zealand is such a small place too. How you treat people and the quality of your product and service is so important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you make a mistake, admit it.
Yeah.
But also be prepared to put your hand in your pocket to actually, if you've got to pay to rectify that, do it.
Yeah.
I see so many businesses, just not in my industry space, but who just hide behind terms and conditions, you know, trying to wriggle out stuff, you know, just to save, you know, a bit of money on the P&L, but at the end of the day, if you really believe in what you're doing, you've got to be prepared to put it right.
Yeah.
And it's not the customer's fault that something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. How has the industry evolved since you started?
It's technology.
Yeah.
So there were lots of manual systems. So if you were a customer of a freight company and you wanted to find out where's my delivery, you know, literally someone in office had to rummage through boxes and boxes and boxes of files to find the day that you said that.
Wow.
And it would take, you know, hours, days. Now, the advent of technology means, you know, literally as a click of a button, and then all that information can come up instantly. But at the end of the day, you know, courier and transport, it's about picking up, and what we call a line haul. So it's a lot from, you know, Nelson to Christchurch on a big truck.
Yeah.
And then a smaller vehicle delivers it to the end user. So there's kind of three parts to that. So I'd say the main one is technology in terms of that. But things still get lost and damaged and end up in other parts of the world where it wasn't meant to be. So humans are a big factor in terms of success.
Totally. Yeah, no, that's interesting. And like you said as well, AI, that's big. There's always huge technology changes as well that come along, so for sure.
But you know, at the end of the day, you know, technology is one thing. You know, if something's lost or someone needs to answer, you know, I sent it to New Plymouth, but it's not there. You know, what are you going to do about it? So you actually have to deal with the human.
Yes, so
as
true.
So in our business, we love technology, but we use it as a tool to help our people do a great job for a customer.
Yeah, brilliant. That's great. I want to change gears a bit to your Ice House experience. When did you first hear of the Ice House?
It's a really good question because I've, you know, been around for a wee while. I think it was around about 2006, 2007. And initially, I think I heard it through our bank manager at BNZ.
Yep.
So we've been a long time customer of BNZ. So yeah, around about then, that's how I heard of it. And like most things, when you hear about something, then you start noticing it.
Yes, so true. Yeah.
You see a yellow car and all of a sudden, you know.
yeah.
Everywhere. So yeah, that's how I first heard about it.
Yeah, we hear that often. You know, BNZ are a great partner and they support a lot of our business owners to get onto programs and to raise the profile of the Ice House as well through their services. So that's really cool to hear. So then we were chatting before. So you did a two-day workshop.
Yep. Yeah, went on a two-day workshop in Christchurch before the earthquakes.
Yeah.
And then, which is great. In fact, I was involved in another business at the time as well. And so my business partner and I went along to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. The guy, one of the guest speakers was a guy that does a bit, Anthony Washington.
Ah, yes. Yeah, cool.
And I can never quite remember where I said, I think I know you from somewhere. And that's where it was. He did a session, so that was great. So he's been around for a wee while.
He's awesome.
As well. And then I had a bit of a break away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in 2010, I think it was the 10-year anniversary of the Ice House.
Mm-hmm.
And I went along to a one-day event in Auckland.
Yeah,
and
great.
I was celebrating the 10-year, and then I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do this.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. So then 2011, enrolled for the OMP program.
Awesome.
And then the earthquakes.
Wow. Okay, yeah. How did you find the owner-manager program? What impact has it had on you?
Well, it was interesting for me because I'd worked for some big corporates and I'd started my business. So I kind of knew quite a bit and I'd done a lot of other courses and I was really comfortable about what we were doing. So when I committed to doing that program, it went along and it probably reinforced that a lot of things that we were doing made sense.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the power of the network and the people, the program itself and the subjects it covered were great. But I think, you know, the people that I met, once again, reinforced what we were doing. And of course, it provides a powerful network to deal, you know, be able to pick the phone up, talk to them if you've got some, you know, challenges. But also, the people that you met that were doing, you know, the each subject, you were able to actually connect with them afterwards as well. And I think from memory, we actually ended up engaging a business that helped us come and do our strategic plan, 5-year plan at the time. So it's a resource. You know, we went to that thing last night in Nelson, and that's just another thing. You know, you get to meet other people, see businesses that are really cool, innovative. So
yeah,
there's lots and lots of reasons, which I could probably talk about for hours. But but you know, even today, I still go back and look at some of the manuals that I've got from certain, you know, subjects. For example, we did the finance, and the guy that did that was great, and he's got a little chart in there which talks about discounting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you know, up your sales, this is how much you can be prepared to lose and you don't affect your bottom line as a percentage, and vice versa. If you drop your rates, this is how much you need more to make more sales. So just little simple things like that kind of keep you on track, and it's been great. So I would thoroughly recommend it for anyone.
It's so cool to hear that it's had such an impact and it's stuck with you for years, and you're a great part of the community. You come along to our events and you stay connected. Has it been a purposeful decision to stay connected to the Ice House community or the business community?
It has.
Yeah.
It has because I'm heavily, I guess, you know, when you own a business and you're driving it every single day, sales and existing customers are crucial, and a lot of that is about networking. It's actually getting out of your office, meeting people. If you're in sales, for example, that's how you earn your money. And also, you know, the power, you know, there's an old saying, you know, your network is your net worth. So the more people, then the right people, critically, is really important. So and you know, if it wasn't interesting, I wouldn't do it. You know, and it certainly is interesting.
Yeah, that's good to hear that it's interesting. And yeah, so amazing when we get people from the owner manager program or any program, you know, some did it 20 years ago, some 10, 15, yep. you know, and yep. Some just finished, and they're all in the same room at events and things. There's definitely a buzz that comes with that. So it's cool to hear.
Yeah. And also I found, for example, when I did the exchange, probably about 5 years after the OMP, it was down in Queenstown. And I went down there and actually met some people. It's funny, you go down there, you meet people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was on governance.
Mm.
And I hadn't had a board then. And then it made me go away and think, you know, I remember saying to someone, well, what's businesses that don't have a board and they do put a board in place, what's the percentage in terms of what does it do for their business? Does it grow their business? Does it whatever? And I did some research around that. And then I decided, right, I'm going to set a board up.
Great.
So if I hadn't gone down to Queenstown, I hadn't met those people that, you know, would had covered that stuff off, I would never put a board in place. And when we did, we found that our business was so much better for that experience.
Wow.
Some people thought I was nuts. Like, why would you put a board in place to, you know, to actually challenge it? I said, well, that's the whole reason there alone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a huge impact that you've implemented in. That's great to hear. And then also you have someone on a leadership program in Christchurch at the moment.
We do.
On the EMP, I think it's called. What was the catalyst for that decision to put one of your staff on?
Okay, so Sarah has been with us for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs our customer service side of the business.
Big side, yeah.
She's done lots of courses herself. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but the penny finally you kind of dropped. I really wanted her to get on the same page as me.
Yeah, great.
And I said, no, you need to go and actually do this. This is not about necessarily learning how to manage people better. It's around the entrepreneurial side of our business. You know? And so I'm getting to thinking like those types of things. So it's more around the thinking than the doing for her.
Yeah.
And I think that she's got all the tools. This will just add another piece to the puzzle. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. Great. Are there any other businesses that inspire you in what you do, whether that's globally or locally?
There are, actually. I'm a bit of a accessory real estate.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with my industry.
Yeah.
My wife used to have own a franchise many years ago with Harcourts. And we call that Blue Blood. And I just look at that business in particular. They're a market leader. They have market share around New Zealand. They, at one stage, had about 10,000 people. And they were in, like, I'm going back a while ago now. I remember having a coffee with the chairman of that group. And they had 230 offices in Australia.
Huge.
They were in the States and in China.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. Quite innovative. They're not the cheapest. They you know, in terms of their fee structure. So, you know, why do people pay more? Because they get more. So I'm a big fan of Harcourts, but from a real estate thing, I'm kind of, for a while, and I still watch it now, even repeats of, you know, $1 million listing, you know, New York and LA. So there's a guy called Ryan Serhant.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he's got his own real estate firm in New York, and when I get back to New York, I'm actually going to get him up on the store.
Good on you.
I'm kind of addicted to that kind of thing. And there's another business over in the States called The Agency, which is a real estate. They're out of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And in Australia, there's a real estate company called White Fox, who have set up in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Auckland and Queenstown, but set up in Melbourne. And they make the best videos,
cool.
Which are really cool and funky. And I was in Melbourne in April this year, and I actually was in a neighborhood and I saw one of their offices. They actually got when I went inside and had, like, say hi, you don't know me, but you know, I'm from New Zealand, cool. You know. And so I look at their businesses and how they run them, and for us, you know. We want to be different, and we look to other businesses outside of our industry. To give that kind of inspiration and ideas, I guess.
That's so interesting to hear because it's quite different to what you do, but obviously just the way and the processes and the excellence that they hold themselves to has inspired you as an owner.
I think the level of professionalism that they have to do for their customers, And obviously, you know, I guess real estate, if you look at it, there's a lot of legal stuff as well that obviously they follow. But, you know, if you look at people that are successful, say in New Zealand, in that industry, you know, the ones at the top are very, very successful, the ones at the bottom.
Yes.
In fact, I remember when my wife first got into real estate, and she's not from a sales background, and I was talking to a mate of mine, and I'm going back in the early 90s. He said, well, why would she want to do that? And I've heard the average real estate only earns $12,000 a year or something. And I said, but why would you want to be average?
Great answer.
True,
the average, yeah, I love that answer, that's brilliant. So interesting hearing your story, and lots of gold in this recording. What does the future look like for Zend and for you personally as a business owner?
Okay, well, currently at the moment, I'm trying to make myself redundant.
Yeah, nice.
In the best possible way.
How's that going?
It's going slowly because I'm probably the worst. you know, when you are, I guess, driven and you want to be the best as you possibly can.
Mm.
So I guess making that leap to let go is it's been a challenge. Mm. You know, but to do that is one of the reasons why we've got a board in place around the governance and the structure. We've got some really good people now.
Mm.
It's taken a long, long time to find the right people.
Mm.
And I have this saying, you know, everyone's not for us and we're not for everyone. So it's finding the kind of special people. I feel as though I'm starting to make progress. So my goal is to actually do some governance roles, which I'm currently applying for. So I kind of see myself as kind of 2 or 3 days a week working on Zen rather than in it.
Brilliant.
Making sure that I'm still connected to our people and our customers and our suppliers or vendors that we deal with. We've just recently opened an office in Auckland and Wellington.
Mm.
We're looking at another location, Tauranga, we think, in the new year. And we've got opportunity in Sydney and Melbourne. So within the next couple of years, we're looking to have a footprint over the Tasman.
Great.
And a few other investments in the technology space. So,
yeah, lots in the pipeline.
I'm not going to slow down. You know, depending on health or, you know, physical and mental, my goal is to do something different but still put the same amount of mental and physical effort into something, because I think people generally that we deal with, that people know if you're passionate and you're committed to what you're doing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So many times I get people come into my office and they try and sell me stuff that they want to sell me, not because I need it.
Mm.
And you can kind of tell that they're just kind of, I'm going to use that word again, average.
Mm. Yeah.
And we don't deal with average people.
Yeah. Mm. That's good. That's very good. Great recording, Bruce. So cool to hear your journey, you know, starting 26, 27 years ago, building something from the ground up with one client, bringing good people along in the journey, you know, and just getting excited for the growth ahead. And I love what you said as well about the focus on working on, not in the business. It's a really good place to be. And it's cool to, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the business goes from here.
Yeah, great. And also, you know, that one piece of advice you give yourself, you know, the one piece of advice someone gave me many years ago was always prepare your business as though it's for sale.
Brilliant.
Even though it's not, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what that's really saying, is make it easy for someone to come and tap you on the shoulder and offer you a big check. but you've got to have a lot of systems and processes and contracts and, you know, compliance and all those sort of things. So we've really, you know, that's been our motto from day one is, you know, and we have been approached over the years. And then honestly, I actually said no, because I thought, what would I do?
Yeah, you're like, hold on, I like
doing it. Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's the way to look at it from my perspective.
Yeah, that's really brilliant. Thank you so much for your time today. It's so great to record a podcast in Nelson. And yeah, like I said, looking forward to seeing where the business goes.
Great, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. And guess what? It is actually sunny in Nelson today.
It is sunny in Nelson today.
So any listeners out there, you have to come to Nelson. So
yeah.
It's great.
It is my first time in Nelson and it has not disappointed. So that's it. There's a little plug for Nelson.